cross, but the man that was on it. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus bled and died for us. I was just reading a while ago, the Bible says that He carried our griefs and bore all of our sorrows. And He took all of our sins for us. And I'm thankful this morning that although we walk in here and we've got some sorrow on us, we've got some sin on us, that the Bible says that Jesus already carried all of it. So we can just let it go to Him. Amen. All right. Well, I'm thankful again to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and turn them to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16 is where we'll be this morning. Just for a few minutes before we observe the Lord's Supper. Continue to pray for Brother Johnny. He's back at home. Got to come home yesterday. Continue to pray for Jerry. He's back here. He's probably fighting sleep back here, but I'll try to keep him awake. And everybody that's sick, I know I can't mention everybody, but continue to pray for all of them. So, all right, as we come to Acts chapter number 16, we'll get into a story that's probably familiar to everybody, but in order to really understand what's going on, I'll give you a little background. So as we come to the first few, verses of chapter number 16, we find that the Apostle Paul picks up Silas and he finds Timothy, and they're traveling on a missionary journey to take the gospel. And as Paul comes to this place, he comes and he wants to take the gospel to Asia. But in verse number 6, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit did not allow him to go. Next, he wants to go to a place called Bithynia. And the Bible says the Spirit didn't want him to go there either. So he shuts the doors to take the gospel here. And we find in verses 8 and verses number 9 that Paul comes to a place called Troas. And as he's there sleeping, the Bible says that a vision appears to him of a man in Macedonia saying, "Come and help us." So in other words, God says, "I don't want you to go to Asia, I don't want you to go to Bithynia, because there's people over in Macedonia that need your help." So we find that God leads them to Macedonia. And as they come to Macedonia, they come to a town called Philippi. It's very familiar to all of us. And as they come to Philippi, there's a woman named Lydia there, and she gets saved. So we find one of the reasons why God said go to Philippi, because there was a lady there that needed to be saved. But as they continue in Philippi, there's a little girl there that's possessed with a demon. And what happens is, this girl goes around, and what she would be today basically is a fortune teller. So people made money off this girl to go and tell other people what they were thinking, what their name is, what their heart is, and they would make money off of her. Well, in Philippi, she starts falling around the wrong person this time. And she starts following the Apostle Paul, and the Bible says he's grieved by it, and he can't stand it any longer. So he finally turns around and he says, "I cast it out in the name of Jesus," and this demon comes out of this little girl. So guess what? The people that made money off this little girl, they're out of business. And they ain't going to be making any money any longer. So guess who they're mad at? The Apostle Paul. And that's where we pick up in verse number 19. You'll find that in your Bible. Verse 19 of Acts chapter number 16, the Bible says, "When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks." And that's where we'll stop this morning. May God add His blessing to His Word. You know, I was reading this earlier this week, preparing for this. I got to these verses and I started thinking, now hold on. God was the one that told Paul, don't go to Asia. God was the one who told Paul, don't go to Bithynia, but I want you in a place called Macedonia, in a town called Philippi. And now these boys ended up getting thrown in prison, and they ended up getting beaten in the place that God told them to go. So they're right in the middle of God's will. They do exactly what God told them to do. And yet we find right in the middle of God's plan, they get thrown in prison. You know what that means this morning? God knew what was going to happen in Philippi. So God wanted them in prison. If God led them to Philippi, we all believe that God is sovereign. Amen. And He knew exactly what was going to happen in Philippi. God wanted these boys in prison. And one of the main reasons that I think, we'll get to that a little bit later, that God wanted Paul in prison is because He saw somebody in that prison that needed Jesus. So He had to put somebody in that prison that already had Jesus to share Him with those people. But you have to realize that often as we walk right in the middle of God's will, it's not going to be just a bunch of flowers and dancing around. But as we walk in God's plan and as we do what God tells us to do, often we find that trouble and trial are right around the corner. In Job's life, the devil was not the one that brought up Job. The devil was roaming on the earth and he comes to the throne of God. And God looks at Satan and says, "Have you considered Job?" God was the one who said, "You can go mess with Job." The devil did not bring up Job. God did. Often, in the plan of God, is trouble and trial. God wanted Paul and Silas in prison, just like He wanted Joseph in the Old Testament in prison, just like He wanted David to go through the wilderness to run from his life from Saul. And we must realize this morning that the place that God wants us isn't a place that's always going to be comfortable. But often, as I said, it's a place that's going to be filled with trouble, with trial, and heartache. Our view of God has become distorted so often in this life by the things that we feel and by the things that we hear. And we've got to realize one thing this morning. I've said it before. That God cares way more about our faith level than He does our comfort level. God cares way more about our faith than He does how comfortable we are in this life. And you know what thing messes up our comfort level the most? When He puts us in trial. And when He puts us in a hard time. And in order to increase our faith so often, God has to decrease our comfort. And you want to talk about messing up Paul and Silas's comfort in their life. I mean, they might not have been so comfortable at first. I mean, they were walking around in a town that didn't want to hear about Jesus, and they were already preaching Jesus. But now, the Bible says, as they're doing exactly what God told them to do, that these people take them and they take whips. And they begin to beat them for it. And then the Bible says they put them in prison and they put chains around their feet so that they couldn't move. In other words, Paul and Silas have found themselves in a place where they're stuck. And many of you this morning have found yourself in a situation to where you're stuck. You've woken up the past month, the past weeks, and maybe even this past whole year, and you feel like your life situation hasn't changed, and you're stuck in the exact same trouble, in the exact same trial, and it hadn't changed yet. Maybe at your job, nothing's changed. Maybe in your family, in your marriage, your circumstances have not changed, and you feel like you're stuck. And maybe even in your relationship with the Lord, you feel like you're stuck, and you can't move forward. And there's members of this church this morning that have walked in here this morning and they're absolutely miserable. Because you wake up every single morning and life is the exact same. Because you're just hoping that stuff will change in your life. You're hoping that your circumstance will change. You're hoping that God will come and answer your prayer. But it feels like there's chains around your feet and you're stuck and you just can't move forward and get away from it. And that's where Paul and Silas have found themselves this night. In prison, with chains around their feet, and they couldn't do anything about it. And some of you are living a life right now that you don't really particularly like. And you're saying, there's no way God would put me in a place, or in a place in my life that I don't like. And that this morning is false. You think Joseph liked being in prison when he did the right thing? You think David liked running in the wilderness from Saul when he was serving God? You think Paul and Silas liked being thrown in prison? No. But that was where God wanted them to be. And so often we have to realize this morning that in this life, God is going to put us in places that we may not like. He might put us in places where we find ourselves stuck. But get this morning. God does His best work when we find ourselves stuck. If you'll read in your Bible, every time a child of God finds himself stuck in his life, God does His best work right after it. But some of you this morning have woke up and you're stuck. And you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do. So what do you do when you find yourself stuck in your situations of life? And a few things that we can learn this morning just from verse number 25 that we didn't read is what we're going to go through this morning. What do you do when you're stuck in life? What do you do when you're stuck? Number one, you've got to realize that God put you there. You've got to realize that God put you there. You'll find in verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, the Bible says that God did not want Paul to go to Bithynia. He did not want them to go to Asia, but rather God directed Paul's steps directly to Macedonia and directly to Philippi. And a problem came up right where God wanted them to be. Now, how many of y'all are like me this morning? That when a problem comes up in your life and a trial comes up in your life, the first question you ask is, all right, Lord, what did I do for this? Now, this is discipline for something. That's what we always think. When a trial comes, when a hard time comes in our life, we're like, well, I'm being punished for something. I don't know what it is. But as you'll find in this text, Paul and Silas were not being disciplined for anything. But they were in the middle of this trouble. They were in the middle of this trial, not because God was mad at them, but because God wanted to do something, not only in their life, but in the lives of the people that were around them. And so often, God does not bring trouble into our life to destroy us, but God brings trouble into our life to grow us up. You've got to realize that. Because if you look at the trials of your life every time and say, God is just trying to crush me, God is trying to kill me, you'll just stay down the whole time. But you've got to realize that when trouble and trial comes your way in your life, God does not want it to crush you, but God wants it to grow you and build you back up. So realize that in your life, when you're stuck, God wants you there. God wants you there. Number two, you've got to realize that when you're stuck, this time is going to test your faith. This time is going to test your faith. Look at verse 25. I mean, right after they had just got beaten with stripes, right after they had just been thrown in prison into this cell and they put chains on their feet, look at their reaction in verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, if it was me, my first reaction would have been to crawl in a corner and cry. But Paul and Silas, the Bible says, just begin to pray and sing a little bit louder praise to their God. Now, how easy is it to have faith when life is perfect? When life is going good, as the old song says, it's all easy when you're up on the mountain. Faith comes easy. Once you get down in the valley, how hard is it to exercise faith in God? Paul's true faith during this time came to the surface. Because when life gets hard, that's when true faith gets put to the test. It's easy to have faith when times are good. But when times get hard, that reveals how much faith you really have in your God. In Matthew chapter number 8, the disciples' faith looked good from chapter 4 to chapter number 7. But in chapter 8, the Bible says they're out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee and a storm pops up. And man, they just begin to let them have it. They say, boy, we're about to die. There ain't no way we're going to make it to the other side. And they go to the back of the boat. Jesus is just back there sleeping on a pillow. And they go back there and say, hey, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? Why are you sleeping? And he wakes up and he says a few words and it just calms just like that. And you know what he says? He looks at him and he says, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt and why did you fear? See, their faith came to the surface when times got hard. And so often the hard times in our life reveal a lot about our faith. And one man in the Bible that you have that has one of the most faith in your Bible is the man named Job. And if you'll read the book of Job in chapter number 1, this man has literally everything in his life taken away from him. His family, all of them except his wife, gets taken away and killed. All of his cattle, all of his money, all of his houses, everything that he has, even his health, gets taken away. The Bible says in Job chapter number 1 and verse number 21 that as all this stuff gets taken away, Job falls on his knees and says, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How much faith did it take for Job to do that? That's a faith that I don't have, just to be honest. But true faith is shown when times get hard. Now I want you to imagine how mad the devil was when Job fell down on his knees and continued to praise God through that time. See, in the beginning verses of the book of Job, the devil comes up to the throne of God and asks for somebody to mess with. And God says, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil looks at him and he says, "Well, no wonder Job serves you, God. Look at all the stuff you've given him. Look at all the money you've given him. Look at the big houses that you've given him. Look at the good family that you've given him." And the devil says, "If you take all that away, Job will curse you directly to your face." And God gives him leeway to go mess with him. As the Bible says that he goes and takes away all this stuff, I can just imagine the devil is saying, "All right, boys, here it comes. I just took away all this stuff. He ain't serving God no more." The Bible says that Job falls down on his knees. And as I said, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you imagine how mad the devil was? Thinking, "Hold on. I just took everything away from you, and you still don't praise God." When he was expecting him to curse God directly to his face. But yet he kept on praising God throughout his hard time. And that's a light way to put it, a hard time. You want to know why? Because Job's praise to God was unconditional. Job did not praise God because of the things that God gave him. Job praised God because of the person that God was. Let's all just be honest this morning and to say sometimes life just stinks. Amen. You won't hear that on TV. They want to tell you as long as you give your money and send money to their ministry, you'll just be happy, happy, happy all the time. Well, I'll just be honest with you this morning. Sometimes life stinks. Amen or oh me works good for me. But our praise is not to be conditional on what our life feelings or our life circumstances are. Because if we only praise God when our life is going good, guess what we're really praising? The good times in our life. Because if we stop and lose our praise when things get messed up in our life, we're really not praising God. Because God never changes. But what changes every single morning that we wake up is our life. And you never know what's around the surface. And the most powerful thing that we can do as Christians is when you look around at your circumstances and they look just terrible. They look awful. But then you look up and you say, "God's still good." And you praise Him anyway. That's the most powerful thing that you can do, and it'll make the devil of hell madder than fire at you. That even though your life is not the best right now, you say, "I'm going to just keep on praising God anyway." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 13, "We offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, which is the fruit of our lips." I can tell you this morning that praise is not something that's just on the inside of our heart. That's worship. Praise is something that other people can see us doing. Praise is something that you do with your mouth. Praise is something that you do with your hands. Praise might be even something that you take a lap and run around this place, Brother Joe. That's praise. And sometimes when you're in the car all by yourself, sometimes what you got to do is just turn up the music on some gospel music and just start praising the Lord. And it'll do something for you. Sometimes you got to get in your prayer closet all by yourself and just start shouting out to the Lord. Although your situation and your circumstance is terrible, you just get all alone with God and start praising Him for what He's done for you. And it'll change something on the inside of your heart. Because there's something about lifting your voice in praise to God. These times that come when you're stuck in your life, we've got to realize that not only God wants us there, but number two, it tests our faith. And number three, it teaches us how to be content. It teaches us how to be content. Some of you have been miserable for the last month, the last 6 months, the past year, because your life circumstance has not changed. Because you're stuck in the same place, whether it's your job, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your church, whether it's whatever. You feel like you're stuck and it's not changing. And you won't hear this on TV either. The cold hard facts of life are sometimes that thing is not going to change. Sometimes it's not God's will for it to change in your life. And that's why I said sometimes life stinks sometimes. Because that thing that finds you trapped and you feel like you're stuck and you want it to change, sometimes it just ain't going to. Sometimes that's not God's will for your life. Because there's one reason for that, I believe. God is more concerned with changing you than He is changing your circumstance. God is more concerned with changing your heart than He is the thing on the outside of you. Now let's be clear this morning. God might put you in a place that you don't like. But He don't want you to be miserable in that place. God didn't put you in that place to where you're stuck that you don't like to be miserable. But God puts you there that you might learn to find contentment in where you are at that place. Because there's one thing that I've learned in this life, and it's that contentment is not found in a place. I'll illustrate that for you. I used to wake up, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year in college, during that summer. And I had a job that I went to that summer, and I couldn't stand it. I mean, every morning I went there, I just wanted to complain to everybody and say, "This is horrible." And just tell them to get out of the store. I don't want to work here anymore. And I would wake up every morning and I would be absolutely miserable because I knew I had to go there. I knew I had to spend 8 hours there and I was going to be miserable. And I would come home at night and say, "All right, God, I'm not content with where I'm at. I'm miserable where I'm at. So I ask You to change the place where I'm at. I ask You to give me a new job. I ask You to move me to a new place, and I'll find contentment there because I'm not going to find it over there." You know what happened? God answered that prayer. God gave me a new place, a new job, and I went to that place. You know what I found? I wasn't content there either. Because you know why? Contentment isn't found in a place. It's found in a person. It's found in your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're always looking down at your circumstances and saying, "God, I'll always be miserable here, and I'll never find contentment until You take me and move me over there. I'll never find contentment at my job. I'll never find contentment at this church. I'll never find contentment in my marriage, in this family, unless You move me to another place." And He just might do it. But you'll find that in that other place, you're just as miserable as you were back here. Because contentment is not found in a place that you're standing. Contentment is found in a person that you serve. You will never find contentment in your life saying, "I just wish everything was perfect in my life." But you'll find it, as the Apostle Paul said, "I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, to be content." And the good thing about that is, he said he learned it. It didn't just come overnight. He learned, and he said that as he was sitting in a prison. He said, "I've learned that no matter where I am, no matter what state my body's in, I've learned to be content because of his relationship with Jesus Christ." And as I said earlier, I used to tell God, "God, if You move me here, I'll be content. God, I'll be content if You do this in my life." And I was constantly saying, "God, do this and I'll be content." But God answered back so softly and said, "If you'll be content now, I'll move." Don't wait for God to move your life to be content. Be content now where you are, and God will move. Because our view of contentment says, I'll be content if. But God's view is, be content right now. Because I'm with you wherever you go. So not only does this place of being stuck in your life, you've got to realize that God was the one that put you there. That it tests your faith. Then it teaches you contentment. But then lastly, it's a testimony to other people. It's a testimony to other people. And if you miss this, I believe you missed the whole purpose of this story being in the Bible. I want you to look at the last few words of verse number 25. The Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And look what that says. And the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. You must realize that when you're stuck in your life situation, that somebody's watching you to the way you react. Somebody's listening to you to the way that you talk about it. And as I said earlier, I believe the main reason God allowed and He wanted Paul and Silas in this prison is because He saw somebody in there that needed Jesus. So He had to put somebody in there that already had Jesus to share Him with that person. I want you to think about if Paul and Silas would have got in that prison that night and instead of singing praises and praying to God out loud with their voice, they'd have just sat down and looked at each other and been like, man, this stinks. This is miserable. I can't believe God allowed us to get thrown in here. We did exactly what He told us to do. And here we are. We just got beat. We just got thrown in jail. Now we got these chains around our feet. And they just sat there and said, I ain't serving God no more. Think if they'd have done that. The next few verses of this story wouldn't have happened. Because in verse 26, the Bible says, at midnight, as they were singing and as they were praising, there was a great earthquake. The Bible says the foundation of the prison was shaken and the doors of the prison began to open and even the chains on their feet were unloosed. And the Bible says the keeper of the prison started looking around. And he said, well, these doors are opened, their chains are gone. Either they're going to kill me or my boss is going to kill me when he finds out what happened. So I'm just going to take a sword and kill myself. But Paul sees him. And he says, don't do this, we're all still here. And you know what happened? That man heard Paul and Silas singing praise to their God. And he knew the exact person to go to when all this started happening. And you know what the first thing he said when he sprung into that prison door? He said, what must I do to be saved? Now I want you to think about if Paul and Silas would have sat there and said, I'm not singing praise to God anymore. I'm done. I'm going to be miserable. And you know what, more than likely? The next morning, Paul and Silas were going to get out of prison anyway. And they were going to be kicked out of Philippi, and they was going to be gone. But because they decided to praise God right where they were, because they decided to lift their voice to God, even though they were stuck, somebody else heard it. And there was somebody in there that needed Jesus. And they heard these boys singing praise to Jesus. And they said, no, hold on. I'm in here in this prison, and I'm usually miserable every single day. And they just got thrown in prison. They just got beat, and they got chains on their feet. And yet there they are over there singing praise to God. Now how am I here miserable, and they're over there in the same situation, and they're singing praise? And I believe Paul told him, he said, well, we got Jesus. That's why. And this jailer walks up to him and says, well, I want Jesus too. You've got to realize that when life hits you hard and you find yourself stuck, there's somebody else watching. There's somebody else listening. And if you're stuck this morning, it's very easy to just sit there and be miserable the rest of your life. But if Paul and Silas would have sat there and been miserable, they'd have missed the whole purpose for them being there. The whole reason God put them in that place, because somebody needed Jesus. And there might be somebody at your work that needs Jesus. You say, I hate this job. Well, there might be somebody there that needs to hear about your testimony of salvation. You say, well, I hate the place that I go to every morning. There's somebody there that's watching you, that's listening to you. And if you'll keep on praising the Lord, if you'll keep on sharing your testimony in the Lord, somebody's going to hear it. And they're going to say, now hold on. This guy's going through the same thing that I am in his life. And yet there he is, still praising. He's still got a smile on his face. He's still got joy. And he'll come and ask you one day, say, how is that possible? And you know what you get to tell him? I got Jesus. You know what he'll say? Well, I want him too. Well, I want him too. This morning, you might have found yourself stuck in your life situation, in your life circumstance. And it may not change the rest of your life. But God wants you to find contentment where it is right now. Because it's not found in the place that you are, it's found in the person that you serve. He wants to teach you to praise Him right through it. And He wants you to realize that it can become a testimony to other people. They can see Jesus on the inside of you and living out through you in your life. And y'all can come forward. And it's very interesting to me that as we come to this 16th chapter of the book of Acts, that they're in a place called Philippi. And Paul finds in Philippi that as he's rejoicing and praising the Lord, even though his life circumstances are hard, that it began to break chains in his life. And a few years later, as Paul is sitting in prison, he wants to write a letter back to this church in Philippi. And you know what the main message to this church in that letter is? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. He knew exactly what they were going through in Philippi. That times were hard, that times were tough. But Paul found out, when times get hard, when times get tough, and you just keep on praising, and you just keep on rejoicing, something happens, not only in your heart, but on the outside of your circumstance too. So he told the church of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. There's something that I can tell you this morning, that sometimes life stinks, but just keep on praising the Lord right through it and watch Him do something for you and for the people that are standing around you. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, we just thank You one more time for the ability to be in Your house. Lord, I just pray that this message was able to help somebody, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You'll just minister to every heart. Lord, we pray that as we take the Lord's Supper here in just a few minutes, Lord, that You'll help us to remember what You did for us, how You came to this earth and died for us and bled for us that we might have salvation. Lord, we thank You for the suffering that You went through for us. Lord, we pray that we'll just continue to always keep our eyes on You, not keep our eyes horizontal, but Lord, keep them vertical. Keep our focus on You, Lord, in this life. Lord, we thank You for all You've done for us. And I pray, Lord, that if there's just one person in here that needs to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray today would be the day. Lord, that anybody that needs to join the church, I pray that the doors would always be open. Lord, today would be the day that they do that. Lord, we thank You for all You've done for us. We praise You for all this, and we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We would all stand this